Well, good morning, everyone. Okay, Pastor Corey's got some more work to do with you, to train you to respond a little better, but you're doing okay. Happy Daylight Savings Day. Who likes Daylight Savings? I hate it. Sorry. Like Pastor Greg said, we're going to start a new series called The Will of God, and you got this card in your bulletin today, and this will be for you to keep. We won't ask for these back. And on there is a scripture verse, and for me, that scripture verse is extremely important. When I was a young man, this is the verse that I can point to that began to really change my heart and my life. When I started to have a desire for things of God and started to read scripture, it was this verse that I came across, and I thought, wow, like that's some really good instructions there, and I started to think through that and apply it to my life. And so my hope is today and throughout this series that this scripture would change your life as much as it has changed mine and is changing mine today. So let's read this. I'll read it for us. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And so, like most young people, when I was young, I wanted to know the will of God. Well, I kind of thought I did, but what I really wanted to know is what job was I going to have, and what school was I going to go to, and if you would be so kind to tell me who I'm going to marry, right? I basically just wanted to know what I wanted to know, and I was hoping that God would tell me those things, like, can you just fill in the information of the important details of life? But like I said, as I started to think about, no, I really do want to know God's will, it became much bigger than that. It became much bigger than just knowing what I want to know, but it was then knowing what God wanted me to know. And so he started to do those things. And so as I read this verse, it started to teach me how to do that, how to discover that. And so the first part of it says this: do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. And so what is the pattern of this world? Well, it's a lot of different things. And as a young person, growing up, that's really all I knew. I mean, I grew up in a Christian home. I actually went to a Christian school. I was going to church every week. So I had 6 out of 7 days, or all every day, was really surrounded by Christian, but I was still affected and driven by the pattern of this world. It was still the things of this world that I was pursuing after. And so what are some of those things? Well, it's pleasure, right? We all want to feel good. We all want to go after things that make us happy. And that is the way the world has taught us to live. It could be self-preservation, like I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to have discomfort or pain. Even the things that I've suffered in my life, I kind of like build a wall around myself to protect myself. And that's the pattern that this world has given us to live after. Another is things. We kind of always want to go after stuff, after toys. We always have this pull, and the world says the one who dies with the most toys wins, right? And so even today, as a grown man, sometimes I'm like, oh man, I really want that. And then I'm like, but do I really need that? And that's just the advertising. That's just the world that's speaking to me, saying that's going to make you happy. Or fame. Or people just telling you, hey, good job, or give you a compliment. We go after these things to help us make ourselves feel good, and that's the pattern that this world has set. And then things contrary to God, just sin. God has set up a plan for us. He says, this is the way I want you to live. And often the world says, God is trying to rob from you. He's trying to steal from you. He's trying to conform you into this little robot that is perfect. And we look at those things and we say, that is the way the world has taught us to live. And here I come across scripture says, do not conform. It's a command. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. If you want to know what God's will is, that is the first step. And so that was how I understood it. Okay, well, I don't want to do those things anymore. I want to be different. I want to act differently. I want to be a different person. I want to think differently. But I needed something more than just my own willpower to say, I'm not going to do those things anymore. I'm not going to conform anymore. That's really hard to do. And so the next part of this scripture is really important. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I knew I didn't want to conform. That's kind of an ugly word anyway. Nobody really wants to conform to something. But I wanted to be transformed. I wanted to be made different. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And see, I had Christ in my life, and I knew I had this ability to be a new creation, but I was pretty much still doing the same thing as everybody else. going after this world, approaching it like everybody else. And I wanted to think differently. I wanted to be different. And so how is that going to happen? It is by the renewing of our mind. By taking your mind and making it new again. It's actually making it go back to the way it was created to be, the way God created your mind to think. And how do we do that? Well, for me it was, and for you I hope as well, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the reading of God's Word. And as I'm reading God's Word, the Holy Spirit is speaking through me and going, you could be this way, you can do those things, you can act that way, you can think this way. And it wasn't anything really outrageous. It wasn't these big things, it was little things. Like, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay, well, I can be nicer. I see Jesus going to people that nobody else was going to. Okay, maybe I can go to a friend in our school or wherever that nobody else is really nice to. Or maybe I can be that friend to them. And so I started to do those things and started to act that way. And sometimes it was easy. Sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes it led to good results. Sometimes it led to bad results. Sometimes it was fun to do, and honestly, sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes it was hard, and it left me lonely, and sometimes just questioning, is this ever going to work out? But as I started to do more and live more, I started to get something happening inside of me. I started to stop caring what other people thought. I started caring more about the things of God. I started becoming more confident in who I was, and didn't matter what the results were. If I knew that that's the way God wanted me to live, I was going to do it. And God started to speak to me in all these little ways. And I remember it happening. It was like, just be a little different. Try this and try that. But I can remember the first time it happened in a bigger way, where the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Because this process was going on in my life, I decided I didn't want to conform to the pattern of this world, and I wanted to be renewed and be transformed by God, and I wanted to discover His will, and I'm listening for His voice. And all of a sudden, I had this opportunity. And it was right after I graduated high school. I don't tell a lot of people this story. Some of my friends here are going to laugh that I'm telling it today. But I didn't really know what I was going to do with my future, so I signed up for community college. And those of you who are graduating soon, community college is a great experience. If you don't exactly know where to go, you'll save a lot of money, you have some time to make up your mind, and that's where I was going to be. And 4 days later, after I started, I dropped out. My friend had called. He had planned his whole senior year to go on this trip with this group called Continentals, and he was raising money and he was preparing, and it was this trip where we did a play of the story of Joseph, and then we sang and we wore these wonderful costumes. I had green and white striped pants and green and white striped vests with our button-down shirts, and we sung songs by Stephen Curtis Chapman, and we had a great time. I hated every minute of it, honestly. But he calls me up and says, hey, you want to come on this thing? And I'm like, no, I can't do this. Like, I have a plan. I'm here at home, and I stayed home because my older sisters were away at college, and my dad had left when we were young, and so it was just me and my mom in the house. I thought, you know what, let me just stay home and save some money and be home and take care of some things. And I said, in my head, I'm going, this is ridiculous. I can't do this thing that you're asking me to do. He says, well, don't say no, just pray about it. And I'm like, well, fine. You know, like a good Christian answer, sure, I'll pray about it. And so I went home, I told my mom, who's here, hi, mom. this makes it harder. I told her what I was thinking about. She said, well, fine, we'll pray about it. And I went to church the next morning, and they asked if anybody wanted to pray like we do here at the end of service, come up and get prayed for. So I went up and got prayed for, and all I said to this man was, I need some wisdom in making a decision. So he starts praying for me. This never happened to me before, but he just stopped in the middle of his prayer and said, God is telling me to tell you that it's okay to go. Everything will be fine. You don't need to worry. My mom was right behind me at that point. I looked up, said, well, I guess you're going. 4 days later, I'm on an airplane to Colorado, and I'm learning how to be Pharaoh and sing songs, right? And it was an incredible trip, and it was fun, and there was reasons. Sometimes I didn't know why I was there, and sometimes I thought, well, this is just a cool experience. We went to 25 different states, And then we took an airplane to Holland and Europe, and we went to Holland, Switzerland, and Germany. And while in Germany, the director said, "Listen, Craig, it's your turn. You get to share your testimony." I'm like, "All right, that's cool. Like, we knew this was going to happen." But I'd never really done that before. And I start to tell this story about how when I was young, my dad left, and I knew who God was, but I was confused, and I was angry, and I was hurt there. There was a lot of pain there. And I knew all the truths in the Bible, but it wasn't until some people in my life came alongside me and they said, "Listen, God is real. He cares about you. Let's do this life together. Let's discover how God has a plan and a purpose for your life." And they helped me discover God is my Heavenly Father. And again, everything changed. It was, everything became real to me, and God who loved me, and he became the father that was missing in my life. So I'm telling this story, and I'm fumbling through it probably, and there's a German translator, and it probably wasn't good at all, right? But at the end of the service, this old German man comes up to me. He's in his 80s. I think he was 82 years old, he told me. And he tells me that when he was young, his father left. And for all these years, there's just that pain and that hurt and that confusion and that doubt about God. And that night, he discovered God as his father. And I'm like, "You're 82 years old." And he still had that desire to know God as his heavenly father. And we prayed. And in that moment, I knew that God spoke to me and told me to go. And I knew at that moment that this was why, that this was the reason. It wasn't for the experience. It wasn't for the travel. It definitely wasn't to learn cool dance moves. It was for that man to know God as his heavenly father at the end of his life. I can't wait to see him again, right? What I want you to know from that story is that God's Spirit still speaks to us. That he has a purpose and a plan for your life. And that the things you go through, he can use for good. And he's always going to do that. He always wants to do that. And if you've been reading through the book of Acts, like I have with our church, you have seen this phrase over and over again that Paul says, "The Spirit tells me," or "The Spirit has led me," or "God has told me." And I want you to know clearly today that God says that is for you too. That is not something that is over and that only happens with Scripture or with certain people. He wants to speak to all of us. He has a plan for all of us. And we see this in Acts. In fact, we're going to get to a part in Scripture in Acts 21. That's where we are today. But this Scripture in Acts 20 says that clearly the Holy Spirit talked to Paul, and I'd like to read that to us. And this is Acts 20, verse 22 and 23. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." Did I say that right? Good. He's clearly saying the Holy Spirit is telling me to go to Jerusalem. He's telling me to go. He also says, "I'm not sure what's going to happen to me there, because the Spirit has also told me that every time I go into a city, it ain't going to be good. Like, there's going to be hardships, there's going to be prison, and yet that's where I'm going." And so the Spirit clearly speaks to Paul there, and then he goes on and he has traveled through all these different islands to get to this place, and he's there with some disciples and friends. And after they had been there for a number of days, this is verse 10 in chapter 21. If you want to open this up in your Bibles, that's fine. I'll kind of refer to it throughout the rest of the sermon, but it'll be on the screen as well. It says, "After we have been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt," which I'm just curious, was it a spare belt or did he like take it off? It was probably like a rope. He takes Paul's belt and he ties his own hands and feet with it and said, "The Holy Spirit says in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there, that's Luke writing, says, "We and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'Why are you weeping and breaking my heart like this? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, 'The Lord's will be done.'" So here we have this interaction through these believers where Paul is saying, the Holy Spirit has told me to go to Jerusalem. And he's also told me that it's probably not going to be good for me there. And then this prophet comes. This prophet, he had predicted a famine, and that came to pass, and so they knew him. He was a friend of theirs. And a prophet is just someone who God is speaking to so that he can tell the people of God what's going on. And so this prophet comes, and he takes Paul's belt, and he ties up his hands, does this big dramatic thing, and his friends and the other believers there are going, well, Paul, you can't go, right? They're trying, don't do it. Like, if you go, you're going to get arrested. You're going to get beat. You're going to be put in prison. Don't do it. And Paul's like having this conversation, and you can sense the tension there, because Paul's saying, the Spirit told me this. You're saying the Spirit told you that. Paul's saying, I know the Spirit is telling you that. I'm going anyway. It wasn't like one was right and one was wrong. The Spirit had clearly spoken to both of them. So the question is, why? Why did the Spirit tell Paul about this? It wasn't so that he wouldn't go. That wasn't the point. And sometimes I think we think that the Spirit of God and everything he tells us to do is going to work out just great. It's going to be so easy, and all the doors are going to fly open, and I'm just going to skate through this, and God's going to show favor and everything. And stories like this, and there are others in Scripture that are like this, that say, it ain't going to be that easy. It's going to be difficult sometimes. The Spirit of God might lead you into a place that's hard. I think about Moses in the Old Testament when he's saying, all right, deliver the Israelites and then go spend 40 years in the wilderness. And he's like, I don't want to do that. And he says, but if you want us to go, you need to come with us. It wasn't the hardship that they were so eager to be a part of. It was that God was going to be with them. And Paul had that same sense. I can almost hear him saying the same things, like, I'll go as long as the Spirit of God is with me. I'll do it. Because he knew something that I want to know better, and I hope that you want to know better as well, is that God is not all about our comfort and our ease. He's not about giving us things that the pattern of this world has told us the things that we should want. He's saying, I have something else for you. So why does he warn Paul? It wasn't so that he wouldn't go. He warns him, one, I think, so that he would be able to prepare himself. Could you imagine being told by God, hey, you're going to go to this place. It's going to be tough. You're going to get arrested. You probably get beat. Who knows how long you're going to be there. But it's my will. You need to do it, and I'll be with you. And he's going, all right. Just think of his mentality going into that, how he prayed about it, how he thought about it, maybe even the way he ate, maybe even the way he prepared to go there. He's going, I think God told him what was going to happen, so he was prepared. And so that when those things happened, he wouldn't doubt that that's where God had sent him. I told you it was going to be hard. This is still my will, my plan. He also told it so that those other people there would know too, so that they would be prepared, so that they wouldn't think, oh, Paul got arrested. Maybe he did something wrong, or Paul's going into this place and this is happening, so maybe it wasn't the Spirit of God that told him to go there. And they would start to doubt that what God had said, and that they could pray for him differently. Pray for him and not just get prepared to help him not get arrested or to survive prison, but to give him more of the power of the Holy Spirit so that he can complete this mission. And I fully believe also that it is so that we know that God's will is not always easy. God puts these stories in Scripture, and sometimes we just gloss right over them. We ignore the difficult part. But God clearly told Paul to go and do this and have to go through this difficult thing. And it wasn't punishment. It wasn't because of sin. It was just the way it was going to be. It was difficult. It was hard. I think of Romans 8:28. I mean, that scripture is so familiar to all of us. As we know that in all things, God works for good with those who love him. And sometimes I think we translate that verse a little differently and say, well, God's going to make everything good. And that's not what it says. It says in everything, whether it's good or bad or ugly or sad or depressing or terrible or horrible, in everything, God is big enough and powerful enough and awesome enough to take those things and work them together for something good. That's the promise that we have in Scripture when we love him. when we commit our life to Him, when we say, I'm not going to conform to this world, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, and I want to seek out His will. And sometimes His will might lead us into a place that is not easy. It might be a wilderness. It might be a prison. It might be a lonely season in your life. I remember for me in high school, I made a commitment, and God spoke to me and said, you know, you're going to be working with young people when you get older. And I was like, cool, that's amazing. I can't believe you just told me that. That's awesome. And soon after that, one of my best friends, his mother died. It was the night before Easter. And I probably told this before, but all those guys, my best friends, they turned away from God in such a drastic way, and they started drinking and smoking and going out. And I just made this commitment that I want to do things God's way. I want to follow His will for my life. And so I made a choice to say, I'm going to keep doing that. I'm not going to do the things that they're doing. And it was the loneliest year of my life. I mean, they were my best friends. In school, everything was fine. When we played sports, everything was fine. But after that, they left. And they never invited me to come. They didn't want me to be a part of it because they knew I didn't want to be a part of it. And eventually, God turned that all around and brought them back. But for that season, it was hard. It was difficult. And it was worth it because all those guys are following Jesus today. They all had a way back. They all had a friend who was praying for them, who was steady and was able that didn't judge them and loved them. And when they wanted to come back, they were easily able to come back to Christ. And yet it was a hard time. So Paul has this secret. He knows it very well. And he eagerly, as we read through Acts and the New Testament, he eagerly goes into these situations. He knows what's going to happen to him, and he goes. And so this is the secret that he knows that I want to know better. Is that God is more concerned with our purpose than our pleasure. He's more concerned with you knowing the will of God for your life than you having pleasure. That's something that the world offers, and it doesn't last. He says, I have a purpose for you, and I'm more concerned with you living out your purpose, because I know if you live out your purpose, then you'll have real joy. He knows that living a life of purpose leads to joy. It's not happiness. It's not just this passing thing. It's real joy that Paul had, that he can walk into these things and go, I'm still praising God in a prison cell. I'm still spreading the word to all these different people. And if Paul didn't go into Jerusalem at that time and get arrested and handed over to the Romans and spend all those years in prisons with a guard next to him, sharing the gospel throughout Rome for years and years and years because he went to Jerusalem when everybody was telling him not to go, none of us would know the gospel today. That is literally how God spread the gospel throughout Rome and how it passed on to the rest of the world, and that we know it today. And so God had a bigger plan than just what they were able to see and just what they were able to tell them. And God says, if you can lead a life of purpose, the life that I have planned for you, that I prepared for you in advance, and if you can seek out my will and submit to it, then you'll have the joy that Paul had. Then you'll know that. And the opposite is also true. Living a life of pursuing pleasure often leads to pain and sorrow. And for those of us who have done that, we know that that's true. We know that every time the world gives us a promise of happiness or pleasure, it's so fleeting and it doesn't last. And yet we go back to it over and over and over again and say, maybe this time it'll work. Maybe this time it'll work. Maybe this time I'll be happy. But Scripture teaches us, and I fully know, that the opposite is true. Living a life pursuing pleasure often leads to pain and sorrow. So how do we do this? How can we discover or determine the will of God for our life? We have that card that you've been given. It has that scripture, Romans 12:2, on it. And on the back of that scripture, there's a couple of bullet points here that the church has put together, and we'll refer to this over the next couple of weeks. But if you're interested in determining the will of God for your life, here's some tips, okay? And these tips go together. You can't just kind of like pull one out and just use that one because you like it the best. You got to use them all together, okay? So the first one is commanding scripture. What commands or wisdom does the Bible give? I told you when I was a kid, I started just reading the scriptures and seeing the little things in there that it had to do. And all those Christian answers of how do you be a good Christian, like read your Bible and pray and go to church. You know what? That's all in scripture. where it says don't give up meeting with one another because this is the will of God for you and you can encourage each other and iron sharpens iron. And so as you begin to apply those things to your life and say, you know what, I'm going to go to church no matter what. No matter how I feel or how happy I am or how sad I am or what the weather is, I'm going to go because Scripture tells me to go. And if I conform, if I be, start to be transformed by Scripture, I can start to know the will of God for my life and my purpose, and I can live it out. And when it says love one another, be kind to those around me, I started to do those things, and you can start to do those things. It's really obvious. If you've been around church at all for any amount of time, you start to know, this is how I should behave. So the commanding Scriptures, if you want to know the will of God, we often go, Lord, I'm wondering about this. And he's going, do what I told you to do. I've already laid so much out for you to do. And once you start to do those things, and I can see and trust that you can do that, then I'll start to give you some more. I'll start to open up a bigger picture. I'll start to show you Scriptures that reveal more things to you and bigger things to you. And you say, okay, good. So let's start with the Word of God. And then everything is going to kind of go back there, right? The next one is compelling spirit. And as you're praying, the Spirit can start to lead you in a certain direction. Like I shared in my life, he said, hey, you're gonna start working with young people and you've got to go on this trip and you're going to go to this place and that place. And that was through the Holy Spirit just kind of speaking to me in times of prayer and times at church and through other people in my life, right? And then I go back to the Scripture and go, is this a godly thing? Because the Holy Spirit is never going to tell you something to do that isn't in accordance to His Word of God already, to His Scriptures already. He's never going to tell you to do this awful thing or sin or to do things against the Scripture. So you can know if you think God is telling you to do something, well, if it is against the Word of God, then that is not God. It's most likely you trying to get what you want through manipulating things, if we're honest, okay? So if it will always align with Scripture, right? The third one is common sense, and I like this one because God gave us common sense. A friend of mine recently told me when God breathed the breath of life into you, he did not blow your brains out, right? He gave us common sense, and you can go through this and go, I think God wants me to do this, and God wants me to do that, and yet sometimes the Spirit might lead you against common sense, right? Common sense would be, don't go to Jerusalem and get arrested. But it was clear that the Holy Spirit and was telling Paul to do that. So sometimes there's some tension there that we got to work through. There's tension with our friends, and that's the next one, Council of Saints. Whenever you're making a big decision, you're looking for God's will in your life, you can go to your friends and ask them, what do you think? But be careful. Don't just go to any friend and ask them what they think, and don't just ask their advice. Go to godly people that you know really care about you and ask them to pray and see if God tells you anything about this certain situation, right? Because some really good meaning people often give us bad advice or they give us worldly advice because they've been stuck in the pattern of the world or that's just the normal way to do things. But if you have some friends that say, no, they're godly people and they really care about me, they will spend time asking God about my life. And then ask him, then tell me what God said. And if it's in alignment, you can go, okay, this is getting closer to me knowing the will of God. And the last one is circumstantial signs. All right, look for God to open doors in certain situations. I actually have to call Pastor Jack because this story that we're looking at today is confusing. The circumstantial signs would say, don't do this. But at times when we're praying and you're thinking about something, God might make something happen that seems like a coincidence. And you go, maybe that isn't a coincidence. Maybe that is God doing something in your life. At Youth for Christ, we've been making a plan and we've been about our future. And we've been praying through, God, where do you want us to do ministry? Long Island is a huge territory for one ministry to cover. There's 130 school districts here on Long Island. There's a bunch of different communities. And we've just been getting this sense that God wants us to go into more low-income urban areas of Long Island. And we have a site in Central Islip where there's plenty of issues there. And we've been seeing God do amazing things through the students that we're working with. Our office is right in Huntington Station where there's tons of stuff going on there that we want to be able to bring God's Spirit into and change things. And one of the places is Hempstead. And we've been praying for these different communities. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, a pastor friend of mine who works at the Salvation Army, he's a captain. I like calling him captain. says, listen, we have a guy that wants to do youth ministry in our church, but we don't have a program right now. Can we partner with you to do a campus life program in Hempstead? And I'm going, this is an amazing answer to prayer. I could go, that's just a coincidence. Let's make sure we're just kind of staying to ourselves and doing things. But I'm going, this is amazing. Let's continue down that path and walk through these open doors and see where God is bringing this. So we can have these tips to help us understand the will of God. And I'd love to just close with just a reminder here. When we're trying to determine God's will, this is what I want us to remember today. First, do the obvious, right? Do what you know you should be doing. You know, if you want to know the answer to this thing and God's going, I really need you to think about your pride. And I really need you to think about how you're spending your time. I really need you to think about how you're treating your family or your friends. I really need you to start with the obvious things that you know is the will of God. It's clear in Scripture, right? And then I want us to remember that God's will is not always easy. That there is this tension in discovering it. It's not always simple to figure out. And God might lead you into a place that is difficult at times. And all of Paul's friends were saying, Paul, don't do it. Don't go. It was not what seemed like the best choice. But Paul was following in the steps of his Savior. A few months ago, I guess, we talked about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and how he was really struggling with obeying the will of God, which is hard to even fathom. But his journey that God gave him was difficult. From the very beginning, God of the universe, you're going to have to become a baby. This is not easy. You're going to have to live a human life. You're going to have to experience pain and hunger and tiredness. And then as you grow and you start your ministry, you're going to have people reject you and talk bad about you and all these things. And eventually, you're going to have to humble yourself to die on the cross. I can't think of a plan that God has given that is more difficult than that. And yet that was his will. And we need to get to the place that Jesus got to in the Garden of Gethsemane that said, but not my will, Lord, your will be done. And that's the same that we see Paul saying, not my will, Lord. My will would be to go do something a lot easier, but your will be done. Because they knew that living a life on purpose was better than living a life pursuing pleasure. I also want you to remember that Christian friends are human friends. They make mistakes. And these people, they heard from the Spirit of God as they were talking to Paul about. But it wasn't to stop him from going. It was to prepare him for what he was in store for what God had planned for him. And so sometimes we need to have that conversation, need to have that tension. We can work through those things. It doesn't always need to be so clearly. But remember that God gave you godly friends, but sometimes they make mistakes. And again, lastly, our last reminder today is that our goal would be to say like Jesus said in the garden, like Paul says, your will be done. Whatever it is you're looking for today. That could be this, I could have said this sermon in just those words. Your will be done. You want his will above anything else in life. Let me pray for us this morning that could be true. Father, I thank you for this place. I thank you for the people that are here today. And you know the things that are going on in their hearts and their minds, their lives today. Lord, I pray that one, that you would stir up this desire for us to want to know the will of God. That we wouldn't want to be like this world anymore. That we want to be transformed and that we would want to know your purpose for us. Not just our general purpose to be saved and to know you, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to live a life as a Christian, but also our specific purpose for us. Help us to be able to discover that, Lord. And as we go through this process, help us to get more and more familiar with your voice. And then every time you give us an instruction, every time we think we know what you're saying to us, let us go willingly and obediently into that. And knowing that your will is better than anything else. Being with you is better than anything else. Father, let that be true for all of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Greg.